So we always talk about the social impact of sports, and no more important day to do it than today. We just heard the report on CBS, and we've been following this all day about the situation at the University of Missouri, where the football team literally went on strike to get the school president, their equivalent of Tom Ross, essentially, to resign. What is the situation there for people who are just joining us?
Well, Aaron, it's interesting that you use the word strike. Everyone knows that in the NCAA, you don't have employees, and generally strike is used when you have a group of employees who are disgruntled, upset, and want change. But that note of being on strike is exactly what happened. Unfortunately, there were some very, very troubling incidents that have happened at the Columbia campus at the University of Missouri. And it's been a number of weeks without the administrators really addressing it, really what you would say is listening to the students and talking about how we can move forward. And with the power of the football team, those who bring in dollars, those who bring in awareness to the university, those who are influential, decided that they would join this collective action to shut the university down in so many regards, in the sense that the team is playing BYU on Saturday, not on their home stadium, but actually in Arrowhead, where the Kansas City Chiefs play. We're talking about over at least $1 million in payment that they would have to make to BYU if that game did not occur. And so the football players joined this collective effort, which actually was undergraduates, graduate students. In fact, some of the Jewish students had also joined in because of some of the racial incidents that they were faced with as well. So it was an amazing act to actually say we are not going to play. And, of course, the University of Missouri responded.
And this goes back to a number of really nasty racial incidents that took place several weeks ago that Missouri administrators just really did not respond to at all, even though there were increasing calls for them to do something, say something. And finally, this happens, which indicates what we have said here on the air on a number of different occasions, that first of all, money talks. And secondly, whether it's good or bad, sports can really make a social difference. And that's something that we need to think about and talk about and be aware of whenever we're thinking about and talking about sports. And this is something, and I don't know if you can think of an incident similar to this, but I don't know if there's a precedent for this.
Well, it is an interesting mix, and it's about the interconnectedness of power and privilege. And so you have primarily black football players on the team who said, we are not going to stand for this. We are also black students. We are also ones who face discrimination, inequality, lack of access through family members. This campus is not too far away from Ferguson, and we cannot forget what happened in Ferguson, which really triggered the Black Lives Matter movement. And so these young men who indeed don't have, or I should say are not as empowered as some, but yet they were able to wield their power for this particular incident, all the while being privileged. We know that many college athletes, especially at the Division I level, receive, I'll say, quote-unquote, a free education. They also receive great equipment, facilities, strength and nutrition. They receive so many things that regular traditional college students do not have. But yet, over time, they've had to navigate the power and the privilege. And so when we think back as to when has this ever happened again, happened in the past, I'm reminded of Carolina. We can make a statement in this way. Way back when, back in the early 90s, when the Sonia Stone Center was being created, was being built here at the university, we had at least four prominent football players who stepped up and said, we're also going to join in this collective struggle. We believe that this building, that it should be a freestanding center, it should be here at Chapel Hill. And because of their effort, because they decided to step in and be activists that building is here today.
I'm speaking with Deb Stroman, Dr. Deb Stroman, UNC Kenan Flagler Business School, talking about today the situation at the University of Missouri, but this is something with potentially at least wide-ranging implications. And I know that you've said, and I think we talked about this just a couple of weeks ago, that people in sports, people in positions of authority or people in positions of power within the athletic world have that capacity to use that power to do good, to make a difference, to make change. And obviously, this is an example of that. Is this something that you see becoming potentially more likely because of the precedent that's being set with Missouri?
Well, that's a great question. It's going to be interesting to see what type of momentum that stems from this particular incident. One of the most powerful things is the fact that this is very visual, and that Twitter picture that went out that showed all of the young men standing together in alignment, in unity. Also, they had their head coach's support, the coaching staff. They supported it. They support the young men.
The coach was the one who tweeted it out, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And students as well. But also the fact that this has gone viral. And so now many campuses are struggling with racial matters. And now you can look and say, look what those men at Missouri did. Look how they joined these other students, these other protesters, the graduate student, Jonathan Butler, who was on a hunger strike. If we all come together, regardless of your race, regardless of your gender, if we all come together, that we can protest and we can make a difference. We can actually make a change happen. And I know many administrators, many politicians across this country right now are very uncomfortable because the power of people coming together to fight for change, to fight for equality, to fight for access. This is a really, really bold statement, and it will be interesting to see how young people who generally lead these types of calls to action. It's going to be interesting how they watch and learn and then decide to move forward in the same fashion.
And it's certainly a risky move for the players and the coaching staff. They're putting a lot on the line doing something like this, and that leads to another larger question, which is, okay, so you have a position of authority, you have a position of power being in the sports world. What now is your social responsibility as a person in a position of authority to step up when you see something going wrong, some injustice, something along those lines, and say, I will use my power to take a stand, even though it might cost me financially down the road. We always talk about sports being a business and people making decisions based on the finances, and there's an extent to which that's what happened here. But thinking about another issue that we've talked about recently, the Greg Hardy situation at the Dallas Cowboys, where you've got a guy who is, and if you didn't think so before, the Deadspin report that came out just a couple of days ago just really eviscerated this player for being essentially a domestic abuser who got off very lightly in the judicial system and now is playing with the Dallas Cowboys making millions of dollars. What is Jerry Jones's responsibility here?
Well, certainly, I think this type of work, being a social activist, it's all about sacrifice. It's about courage. Are you willing to be the only one in the room to make a stand? Are you going to go ahead and live your values? Sadly, we've had many, many incidents in the history of America where a lot of people were very silent, and they regretted that. And so it's, again, we're inspired by the young people who take the lead. So many times the young people inspire us, and then we move towards what is right and what is just. In terms of Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, his answer to, I guess, finally seeing the pictures, over 48 police photos were released, looking at Hardy's former girlfriend, Nicole Holder. He says that he did not see the pictures, and the league backs him up on that. The league actually saw the photos, but they gave Hardy the 10-game suspension, and then it was reduced to 4 games, and many people would argue that Jones just did what any other owner would do, as in, they're trying to win the Super Bowl. They're trying to get to the playoffs, such as they first, and that they need a strong defensive end. And if he indeed were cleared by the league, then he is an eligible ball player. Others would say, I'm going to live my core beliefs, and I don't think that any man should put his hands on a woman for any reason, and that they should not be employed, and certainly not at a in an industry or in a place of employment where violence and hitting and aggression is needed. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Greg Hardy only has a one-year contract. It'll be interesting to see if other teams pick him up or even if the Cowboys feel that his play is worth it.
All right, speaking again with Dr. Deb Stroman, UNC Kenan Flagler Business School, and we're going to have a lot more on this on our website, chapelboro.com, later on this afternoon, or into the evening, I think. You'll be able to, if you're listening out there, you can listen to the conversation again, and we'll have much more from Dr. Stroman on our website, chapelboro.com, later on today. Before we let you go, we've got to let you go in just a second, turning to a lighter topic, what's your take on Tar Heel football? Which we haven't had a chance to talk about in the last 10 minutes, but they've won 8 games in a row, and we've got a big game coming up against Miami. What's your take on this team?
Well, I'm very excited, and I'm not one who gambles or who predicts, but I just had a feeling that the Tar Heels would run all over Duke and throw and catch, and that's exactly what they did. And so I'm expecting a little tougher fight on Saturday, but I expect them to beat the Hurricanes. I love the balance. Again, Coach Chizik, the defensive coordinator, truly has brought another level of chemistry of switching to the 4-3 defense. He's really making a difference out there, and you can see it how the team is playing for one another. And great teams always have this sense of we're all for one, next man up, we're going to do whatever it takes, and they are alive and passionate in the fourth quarter. Now, this past weekend, there wasn't much to, you know, get worked up about since we were winning by so much. But, you know, all the other games they've played, they've been ready. They've been showing emotion in the fourth quarter. So this bodes very, very well for the Tar Heels.